Hello, 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 and welcome to the Sober Butterfly Podcast. The Sober Butterfly Podcast amplifies diverse sober voices to share the beautiful and hard truths of recovery. We hope to inspire people to see that a life without alcohol is a life worth celebrating, not a shameful and isolating experience. I'm Nadine Molina, and thank you so much for tuning in. New episodes drop every single Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern.
I'm so excited, y'all, to bring you part two of episode 112. Kind of left you with a cliffhanger there last week. Sorry about that. But who Camille, my guest and friend, had just so much like amazing detail in her story that I couldn't fit it into one episode, and I was like, I'm gonna bring you guys back to hear the rest of her story. So a quick recap in case people didn't get to hear that episode, part one last week, which was Camille walking us through her very first time ever experiencing drinking, through that toxic college culture that her and I both experienced together. Then post-graduation, she gets a DWI. She explains in her own words how she doesn't really like learn a lesson from that.
I'm embarrassed. Like, I can't believe I did that. Now, granted, the car just got impounded because I was pulled over. I was driving it. Like, I didn't crash or nothing. So it's like the car was right there. I didn't do anything too crazy. I just got caught.
And then her career starts to blossom as an artist. And she actually moves to Atlanta. And here we are in the story where it's New Year's Eve, 2019. So we're about to bring in, you know, the shit show that is 2020. And Camille is going to share what happens in her own words. Really quickly, I'll drop that.
I'm probably 5 minutes from my house. If that, maybe 3 minutes. I'm comfortable. I think that's what happened is I feel like I'm off the highway now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that roll window, loud music, like, I have to focus. I'm on the highway. It comes off you once you're in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
All I know is it was like, doom, doom, doom.
What?
And I'm like, oh, shit. And I pull my head up.
You got an accident?
Girl, I ran into a tree.
So now that everyone is caught up, let's hear the conclusion to Camille's story. Let's jump in.
Girl, I ran into a tree.
A tree?
Thank God it was no other car or no other people or not a house or somebody's property. Was a tree. Tree, too. I had my seatbelt on. Thank God. Wear your seatbelt. All the airbags is out. It's smoky. I didn't get out the car because I feel like I'm in pain. I think I was off the jerk I'm in a car accident, a serious car accident.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get out. I remember all I did was I called somebody and he didn't pick up, but I texted him. And I texted him like, accident, help, hurting, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he never responded. This is probably at like 3 a.m. And I remember a car pulling up. I remember the lady asked me, am I okay? Do I need help? And I remember telling her, no, because AAA was on the way. I think I called AAA because I had a AAA card.
Okay.
But you know, AAA, they take their time. So this is probably all in a matter of like 5 to 7 minutes maybe.
Okay.
Like the crash, me realizing I crashed, this car coming past asking if I'm okay, me calling AAA, me calling the guy, texting him, and then the police pull up behind me.
Yeah.
A minute after the police car came, the nigga came.
Damn.
Now, I'm glad he there, so he showed up, he pulled up.
Yeah.
But had he been there a minute earlier, I know he would have thrown my ass in the passenger seat and acted like he was driving. You get what I'm saying?
Not that
would have taught me anything, but I would have got out of what I was in.
But yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he would have been like, get over there. Like, I'm getting in the seat. Like, I did it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that would have happened. But it did it, which is fine. So the police come. He show up after whatever. And the police, it's a black officer this time. And I'm still in the driver's seat because I am drunk. I'm not thinking, get out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in a tree. Like, I just got in an accident. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I just got in a bad accident.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
On New Year's Eve.
Look, on New Year's Day. Like, you didn't just get in an accident. You were drunk and you fell asleep and you ran into a tree. So with this one, I wasn't pulled over. He just kind of showed up. I'm not really with the bullshit. The ring around the rosy. I'm not taking the eye test. I'm not doing a line test. I'm not doing none of that. Like, no. The guy that I called, he had to tell me, like, Camille, you got to chill. Like, you need to relax. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, alcohol, it was a little short officer. Like, get this little nigga out of my face. Like,
I'm dead.
Off the hug. So, like, the guy that I called, he like, yo, you got to chill. Like, you got to relax. Right. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna chill, whatever.
Camille's so an Amazon really know, like whatever. Me, so she thinks she can like flip.
Yes,
little men
away. We're tall girls, yeah. Like, yes, I do believe little men should be flicked away. Well, I believe big men should be flicked away too, but little men are just so much easier to be like out my face. But
I did not call for you, officer.
Right, sorry. Right. Nobody called you. I didn't call you. So why are you here? I called him. He could take me where I need to go. Right. And I'll figure out my car later. You know what I'm saying?
Triple A is on the way, sir. Triple A is coming.
Triple A.
Talk to them.
Triple A is on the way. They going to handle the car. You're good. You're safe. Go find somebody else that needs help. Because I don't need help.
Yeah, that's how I would probably talk to them too. Like,
so, of course, he wanted me to blow. Mm-hmm. And learning from my last one, blowing is really the only evidence that they have.
Okay.
Literally, it is. Once you blow, that's the only evidence that they have that you were drinking. You telling me my things are dilated because you got a flashlight in my light. Right. You told me to walk a line. You didn't tell me to walk a straight line.
I'm discombobulated, sir.
These are all defenses if you don't have a breathalyzer, because the breathalyzer is the proof. So, of course, this time I'm like, I ain't blowing. Right. So, I don't blow.
But then you automatically
end up
go to
in
jail.
The cop car of kin.
Yeah,
I automatically go to jail.
And then don't they just take your blood when you get there?
No, they didn't take my blood or nothing like that. It takes a long time for like their paperwork. They don't care about you. They don't care. Like, jail is jail. They don't care how big or small it is. Like, once you're there, you're there. You a criminal at this point. So you'll be dealt with when you dealt with. I remember taking my mugshot. I remember they made me put a t-shirt on because I looked so goddamn good. They didn't want me to be too sexy in my mugshot. So I put my little white tee on. I remember I was crying. And then so I can't, let me tell you, I remember I was crying. I feel like my mascara was running. But I'm going to tell you this, Nadine. The rapper in me has searched high and low for this mugshot. Because I know it's T. I know she's that girl and it's a story behind it.
Of course. That could be the next album cover.
And I can't. You know, I can't find it. I can't find it anywhere.
You can't find it?
So maybe that's a good thing. I can't find it. But I think that might be a good thing also.
That's a good thing. If you can't find it, that means other people can't find it, which is even better. So
absolutely. And so I ended up getting out at like 4 o'clock. But now I don't have a car. It was like a soda can from the front. It was like a soda can from the front. Thank God I didn't get hurt. Thank God I didn't leave with a broken bone. The next day I get out of jail and I'm like, fuck, like, I don't have a car. And I didn't tell my parents for like maybe a week for real because I was so ashamed because it happened already, remember?
Yeah.
I should have learned from that time, but I didn't. So this shame and this one is different from the other shame because that one was like, damn, I got caught. Like, fuck the system type shit. This time it's like, damn, like you could have died. You could have hurt somebody. You could have really hurt yourself. You totaled your car. You just got that car in September. You gonna Uber to work? How much money is this about to cost? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I eventually told them. And, you know, my parents, they're just really, they're understanding for the most part. My mom don't really do the jail thing. So she kind of like, girl, enough is enough. Like, figure it out. You know, my dad was very extremely understanding. He was a pastor. So he was good at, like, helping people at their worst time. You know what I'm saying? He was used to people needing him in a jam. So he actually helped me out a lot. We like a weekend. What I get a lawyer. I pay for this. $5,000 on a lawyer. Boom. Out the gate. Then maybe a month later in February, mid-February, I got another car. I put $2,000 down on the car. So I done wasted $7,000 already. Once I got the lawyer, he told me, okay, so they're gonna tell you that you need to go to basically get an evaluation at like a place. I think it's called like Columbia substance center, something like that. You talk to somebody. I go in there, me being me, and just not taking things serious, but not really understanding how things work. I'm coming to see this lady so she can evaluate me. Meanwhile, I'm kind of in there like it's therapy. You know what I'm saying? But that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be honest. Because had I known, I probably would have slowed it down a little bit and I wouldn't have got all what I needed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So this lady tells me, she says, okay, well, I'm going to recommend you need to be enrolled in our 26-week program.
How long is that? That's half a year.
26? That's, yeah. There's 52 weeks in a year. I'm literally, 26 weeks.
That's literally 6 months.
So at the time, what it was, it's basically AA.
Okay. I know all about
it. It's basically AA. And so we meet one time out a week on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. In person and just check in. You know what I'm saying? People tell it, you know what it is. You know what it's like. Whatever.
Yep.
And I love my counselor. I got to choose my counselor. It was a black woman. She went to Howard. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Elena. It's been a long time. So I forgot your name because I haven't had to see you because that's a good thing. We're meeting in person. Boom, March. COVID hit.
Oh, yeah.
So.
January to March, were you drinking?
No, I was not drinking at this
completely
point.
Done.
Okay. Whether it was cortisone or not, I told myself, I'm not doing this. This stuff is tearing me up. This is like my last straw, right?
Okay, got it.
But once you're in the program, you can get piss tests randomly. You can get piss tests randomly at the class on Wednesdays.
Okay. You weren't allowed to drink. So the piss test was also for alcohol, not just other substances? Okay.
Yeah, once I was enrolled in the program, I couldn't drink. Where obviously drugs are illegal, so they didn't even have to tell us that. But alcohol. I couldn't drink. I remember a few people at the class, they were going out to a bar. And I'm like, so come March, classes went on for 2 weeks because they were trying to figure out what to do. And then we went virtual. And so I started taking classes on the Saturday. And I remember just doing it and thinking, this is never going to end. 26 weeks, I have to do this. You know what I'm saying? This is never going to end. I'm in there for 26 weeks. Okay. I get to see people who are only assigned 8 weeks, only assigned 16 weeks. There's people who have come and gone while I'm still in the program.
You're
some
OG.
I'm OG at some point. But it was also when I was early on, when it was somebody in my class in person, when they say, oh, this is my 24th out of 26th week. So anybody that's just now getting it, you can do it. It's going to fly.
Nice. Yeah.
So early on, you got to get advice. But then it was also dope to see people do their little time frame in the program and leave and really sound like they really are interested in taking care of themselves.
That's great. What were the demographics of the people there? Was everyone there because they had a DWI or were other people there for other reasons?
Yeah, it was all alcohol. No, it was all alcohol.
Okay.
And it is refreshing to see faces of all kinds. It is refreshing to see somebody in a store clerk. It is refreshing to see somebody you think could be your president of the United States in your class. And when I say that, I mean your typical white man. There actually weren't really other young black girls. I was probably the only young black girl. There were maybe two black guys.
Okay.
Majority was white.
You know what? I have a theory about this. Because it was something that you had to pay for, that could also be a reason why it was less accessible to people. I hope that's not the truth, but that's just a theory. You don't think so?
I'm trying to think. I can't recall. No, I can't recall if I paid for the classes.
Okay.
In this up front. I know I paid something to them people.
Yeah.
But it's required. So it's not really about not doing it. You have to do it.
I see.
I get what you're saying, but it is a requirement.
But if you don't do it, what happens to you go to jail?
So I'm trying to think. Exactly. So there's that. So also with my lawyer told me, since it was my second one, he knew I was gonna have to get a breathalyzer. So he told me, just get it before the court tells you to get it.
What does that mean?
So I got it in June.
The breathalyzer? Oh, for your car.
So when you go... An interlock.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, like an interlock system in your car. Yeah, yeah, for your car. So okay. He told me I would have to get one. And so he was like, and it'll probably look better if you go and get one before they tell you to get one. So it looks like you're being proactive.
Okay.
So I went and got one in June of 2020 and was assigned a year with having the breathalyzer in my car.
Really quick life check-in. What's new? So I wanted to just wish everyone a happy Sober October. I hope that if you are doing the Sober October challenge, that you are still going strong. Quick reminder, you know, if you mess up, if you have a quick slip, if you relapse in any way, it's okay. Pick back up and start again tomorrow. I used to do these drinking challenges and almost look for an excuse to mess up to them, be like, let me throw in the towel and give up. No, don't give up. Just try again tomorrow. Okay, let's hear more about Kimil and what's going on with her.
So let's say June, get the breathalyzer. So I'm getting used to it, whatever. And the breathalyzer, if you don't know what it is, you have to blow into it to start your car. I also have a camera in my car. So they said that they started using cameras because people would have their friend blow and then they would drive.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the friend just drive? You get what I'm saying?
Because if you think about it, maybe as a kid or something, you ask your child, blow, fast, so mommy can drive. I don't know.
You're right. And then my court date, because of COVID, my court date got pushed back so far to September. I think it was initially supposed to be in April. Because COVID, it got pushed back to September. Okay. So by the time I went to court, I had all the paperwork from my 26-week program since I started in February. 26 weeks had passed. So I was able to come to court with that. I was able to say that I had the breathalyzer in my car for June, July, August, September, for 4 months.
Okay.
I've already completed one-third of what I'm supposed to complete.
What was the worst-case scenario? So obviously you're being proactive and you want to look favorable on the court's eyes. But what would have been, like, the worst-case scenario? Oh, okay. Damn.
And so that's worst case. Court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I'm in court. And you know, for a DUI, especially a second one, they can give you, like, it can be, like, 30 days or something. I mean, they can give you what they want to give you for whatever it is. So I was a little nervous because, like I'm a teacher. You a lesson. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, teach you a lesson. You already did this. Like, why are you back here? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Years later, like, aren't you so much older? Don't you know better? Mm. So basically, they gave me a weekend in jail.
Okay.
So I did a weekend.
I mean, like, that's not fun. That's like the opposite of a staycation that I want. Like, a staycation from hell.
That's exactly what it is. Absolutely the staycation from hell. Oh, and what made it worse, I think, so basically what happens is I had to, like, turn myself in at 7 o'clock on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then I got to leave at 7 p.m. on Sunday night.
Okay, now I have a million questions. How does one prepare for that? So you know you're going in. How do you mentally, physically, spiritually prepare emotionally for all of you, like, knowing that you have to turn yourself in?
You eat well. Really good food. Yeah, you eat well. That's what I did. I just made sure. I remember I had a Little Caesars deep dish pepperoni pizza because that was my thing during that time. It was so good. It was so fresh. It was so hot. Don't they say hot and ready? Shout out Little Caesars, okay?
You've hit them up for a sponsorship.
But right, I ate good.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So I ate, and then just knowing that I'm coming home in 2 days. Like, it wasn't nothing. Yeah. I'm not going to do no long bid. Like,
I just think orange is the new black. I'm going to, like, were you thinking, like, this? I don't know. Like, I would be like, okay, who am I going to sit with? And what's the landscape?
Right, exactly.
And who I need to befriend?
I thought about that, like, okay, what's it going to be like? Like, how are they going to be? What these women going to be like? Whatever. But then I went, they processed me. They really do make you get naked, bend over, cough, do all of that.
Hell no.
Squat, do
really?
All of it.
That's so
Yeah, to make sure you're not bringing nothing in with you. Making sure you're not.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's also, I guess, it's make sure you're not bringing no drugs, no weapons, nothing. So you do all of that, whatever. They take me back to whatever cell I'm in, or a little unit. It's 8 cells, and nobody is in there.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
praise
hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
It was just so boring.
Like, girl, I'm glad it was boring and not exciting for you in jail.
You want to know something, though? And I've said this to a few people. I've said, like, I'm glad it was born for me too, because I feel like had it been a laugh or two, I would have felt like I could, if something else happened, like, I'd be good. That's September 2020, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, also, this all happened like a week apart. So court is a week before me having to go to jail, right?
Okay.
I'm not drinking. I'm sober, okay? We're not drinking. We good, okay? So I've gone all this time from January. This is the longest I've probably gone without drinking. Also, stuff was happening. The music was going. I just won this jingle contest in August. Mm-hmm. And things seemed to be going well. People ask me, you want to drink? No, I'm good. And it's easy for me. Like, I'm good. It's not like, oh, I wish I could have a drink. Like, I had moments when it was like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I was like, I'm good. Because at this rate, I'm so far in that it's like, I'm good. 2021 comes. I still have the breathalyzer. Okay, I'm also on probation around. This is the one where I should be given the air probation. I think I talked to my probation officer over a year span, like 3 times. And I called her, like, all those times. Yeah, so that was a little questionable. That's like,
she's like, you're not checking on me
at all? Like, you don't care? Yeah, literally. And I'm like, fry them bitches up, because don't pay me no mind. Hey, just checking in. Want you to know that I'm on your docket. So you don't be like, oh, I haven't heard from her. No. I moved to Atlanta in 2021 because for the music, I work, I make music. The first weekend I got to Atlanta was the first time I violated on my breathalyzer. I started drinking again in like October because the program was done in September.
I see. Okay.
So I did the whole program. I did not drink in that 26 weeks. 9 months of sobriety. They said don't drink, right?
Yeah.
I'll say this though. Part of my probation was that I don't drink or do drugs either. But I think once I realized how relaxed how she wasn't checking for me at all, that I could drink. But when I say I could drink, I could just have a glass of wine or like I could have a cocktail, not trying to get blacked out drunk. Like I was really like on a straight and narrow. Like I can't
and
drink.
And could you
like,
do
I
that?
That? Like I can't have.
Are you able to regulate your drinking? Because I can't. Like I can. Okay. Technically speaking, I can have one glass of wine or one cocktail. But I will not be satisfied. So that's why I'm sober. Because I'm like, one does nothing for me, and I have an addictive personality where I want to feel something.
And you just want more.
I want more.
Honestly, answering your question, I don't think I can do that either. I don't think I can just have one. I still think, even now, I have better control. But there's been times when I've had somebody definitely had to reel me in. Or not on no like super crazy stuff, but just like, nah, like you good, like you're done. Like that's it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm okay with it now. Back then you couldn't cut me off.
Right.
I'm gonna go to the liquor store and just drink by myself. Fuck y'all.
I wanna hear about Atlanta. So you get to Atlanta, you said you went to brunch and then
I get
that
to
was
Atlanta
the
in March.
Time.
Mm-hmm. In March, so I'm only March, April, May, June. I'm only 3 months away from getting it out of my car. Mm-hmm. You get 3 times to violate before something happens, for real. So I violated in March after brunch. I violated again in April. Every time I violated, it wasn't on no like, I'm lit, I'm about to drive. Like brunch, I knew I had to drive. I just had like one mimosa too many. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Mm-hmm. But even that, I think must have been somewhere before then, drunk, had a little time. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to my car to start it, it started. So I think I thought I like had figured it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I didn't figure it out. So that was March. And then same thing in April. I was walking the Beltline with a friend. And we just like had got cocktails from Pond City Market or something. I think I had 2, which isn't a lot, but it was on my breath. I didn't give myself enough time between the drink and driving. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The third time I violated was later May. And that wasn't me trying to drive the same day I was drinking. It was the morning after.
Oh,
but it was
wow.
the morning
so
after I
lit.
Drank a lot. It was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was me and one other person. We split a bottle. So it was, and it was late. So we hadn't eaten. I didn't really brush my teeth in the morning. It was a little, you know what I'm saying? One of those.
Yeah.
And so I was just trying to hop up and go home. And my car said, girl, sit your drunk ass down, even though I wasn't drunk.
I see. Did anything happen that was like the third strike?
Girl, we get in there.
Okay, sorry.
And so my homegirl came into town in June, and I was going to take her to the airport after we went to brunch on Sunday. And I drank at brunch, and I came home, and I napped for 3 hours and rested for 3 hours, and I was going to take her to the airport. And I knew that you only had 3 times to violate.
Okay.
So if I violated, this is my 4th time.
Oh.
So I blow, crossing my fingers, that it says pass, and it says violated. And I'm like, damn. So I'm just kind of like, damn. Like, I knew something was going to come, but I'm the type of person, until it comes, I ain't paying it no mind. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Not saying like I'm drinking and driving enough, but I'm not worried about it for real. Yeah. So maybe in July, I got mail from the Motor Vehicle Association saying you have violated more than the times that are allowed. You have 2 options. We're going to suspend your license for 9 months. That would be April of 22, right? Or they could suspend my license for 1 month and I can re-enroll in the program from the very beginning.
Damn.
So I went with option 2, and I'll tell you right. Why I went with option 2. I went with option 2 because I absolutely considered option 1.
Oh, you did?
But yeah, I considered option 1.
9 months, no car in Atlanta?
But I considered it not with 9 months, no car. It was going to be me driving on a bad license. But my luck is I'm going to get pulled over. And then I'm going to go to jail for real. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, I had to think that through.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to just do the responsible thing and do the 1 month suspended license and start the program back over. From there, I was not playing. Like, after that, I wasn't playing. I wasn't taking no risk. I wasn't doing none of that. I had gotten 1 violation, but it's because I left my car running. I went inside of a meeting, and then I had never turned my car off. And when I went to go get a water bottle, like an hour, 30 minutes later, my car was like buzzing, like beep, beep, beep,
oh my
beep.
Gosh.
And it was like failed to miss violation, miss violation. Then as soon as I saw it, I blew it, and it cut off. It was fine. Because I missed like 50 tests within an hour, you know, they looking like, where is this? Like, what? She's refusing to blow. But if they really use their technology, they would see that I'm not on the camera because I'm not in the car.
So that doesn't count.
So that's
count.
Something.
That's null and void.
No, we're not going to say it doesn't count. It's null and void in my head because I didn't drink.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I got an extra month added on to it. I got a month added on to it.
My gosh.
And so me being me, though, I didn't think until now to kind of fight it and say I wasn't in the car. Like, y'all
look
got
the
that camera. Look at
right.
the camera. Let's go back to that day. So my new date, because I was supposed to get it out September this year, right?
Okay.
Because that would have been a year.
Yeah.
But it's October, so it'll be in like 2 weeks. So it's still in my car, y'all, but I'll get it out in about 2 weeks. And I am looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it for you, my love. So October is also Sober October in the recovery space.
Oh, okay.
That's what we call it. So that's a good maybe good omen
that's
to have
one,
on
right?
your side. And so what does your relationship now look like with alcohol? So you've underwent the same program now twice. You know, you've had the 2 DUIs. You have, you know, been in spaces where you've been happy and sober. And then you've been in spaces where you've been drinking and not so happy and everything in between. So what are your thoughts about how you plan to live your life moving forward with alcohol? And what does your relationship with alcohol look like now?
I'm not 100% sober, but that's also a choice that I made. I decided that I would still drink.
And what type of drinker are you? Like, when do you drink? Are you like a nightly wine drinker? Are you more of a social drinker?
All right, so I'll tell you this. I'm in the field of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So alcohol is like the least that there is to do, but it's really, really not. So let me take that back because I think we think that alcohol is the worst drug when you think about it, because we think that it's the least worst. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
So we make excuses and we make t-shirts that say 0.09 for high schoolers. Alcohol is always around. Alcohol,
it's lethal and it's hidden in plain sight.
Like, it's lethal, it's hidden in plain sight. But then also with music, when it comes to creativity, you might say a few things off the bottle that you wouldn't have said sober. So once you know that, sometimes you kind of feel like, let me get loose first before I go to the studio. You know, I definitely have found myself in times like, oh, let me drink something before I go to the studio. Not studio, I record it in the house sometimes too. So I'm not drinking and driving. I'm still not drinking and driving.
I remember like in college when everyone would be around like freestyling. I was never good at it, but the only time I could allow myself to even pretend to partake is when I was drunk or drinking. I would never have enough courage. It's liquid courage, right? Have you ever thought something was so amazing when you were drunk and then you heard it back later on and you were like, actually, that wasn't hitting, though that wasn't great? Because I can't compare it to rapping, but I know in conversations I've had, the rare times I've accidentally recorded myself and heard the nonsense that came out of my mouth, I was embarrassed. I thought I was being so prolific and had all these amazing points, and then I hear it and it just sounds like garbage. So I'm wondering if that has ever happened to you, where it's like, in the same breath, you think that you're saying these amazing things and then you hear it back and it wasn't that deep to begin with.
The music and recording songs, I think I have recorded something and thought like, this is it. And then I listen back in the morning and I'm like, that actually doesn't sound so good. Not so much about what I was saying, but just how it sounds.
Okay.
You know, in the moment, it was a hit. But the next day, it's like, this don't sound that good. You know what I'm saying? So, something like that. But that's where I think my relationship with alcohol will be tested. Alcohol, and I'm sure you can attest to this, is like, it almost became a part of who you were and how people knew you and referred to you.
Of course.
And so it's like, how can I be who Camille from 2019, you know what I'm saying, in 2022, when I'm not doing what I was doing in 2019, and even how Who Camille really started, and I'm like, oh, this is what I'm gonna do, this is what I'm gonna say, I'm gonna talk big shit, or this is how I move, and now I'm not drinking like I was drinking then, and I'm not moving how I was moving then, because I've chosen not to, but then you feel
crazy?
Like, damn, I wanna get back to the old me.
I know that was a rhetorical question, and that this is not an answer per se for you, but I think the identity crisis piece is definitely something I've had to deal with. Like, how do I move now? And how do I not lose who I was before? As humans, we have to grow, we have to evolve, and you can't be afraid to change, and you can't be afraid to reinvent yourself into a different version of self now that you have more perspective. Because the 2019 Camille that you just described to us is not who's sitting before me right now in 2022.
Yeah, it's not who y'all talking
nor
to right
should
now.
It be.
Exactly.
Nor should it be. And I think like artists get so lost in, you know, especially when they get sober. Like Nicki's sober right now. Gucci Mane is sober right now. And I mean, like, I don't know what, I haven't heard too much of their latest music, but like, I'm assuming their sound and their essence of who they are still reigns true through their music, and they're not going to lose their fans just because they're no longer drinking and doing whatever else they were doing.
I'll tell you this though, when it comes to work and like performances, don't hand me a drink before that shit. Like,
good for
I'm focused.
You. Yeah,
you know what
good
saying?
For you.
Like, I be focused. I'm no fun before a show. Like, Be Out Day.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw people before Be Out Day, but this is also something that I'm learning, that when it comes to me, I don't need to be out before a show. You know what I'm saying? Like, at Be Out Day, y'all gonna see me on stage, and then we can chop it up. But that whole, like, oh, hey, before, because I can't even give people what they want from me.
The you're regular, too focused.
Like,
you're
hey,
in the
y'all,
zone.
What's going on?
Yeah.
I'm too in the zone. I'm too anxious. I'm too nervous. When you do good in music, or just when I do good, I'm proud of myself, it's a different type of high. Like,
you.
I'll say a real accomplishment that I felt like when I got that placement on Flo Milli's album, like, yeah, I could have a glass of champagne to celebrate, but it ain't gonna feel like me just I could also just be happy that I did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The glass of champagne is a plus, but it's not like, oh, I need to. That's a different type of high when you're proud of yourself for real and your accomplishments. So that's kind of something that I look forward to continuing to be proud of myself and to be able to brag on me. And that'll maybe keep me away from some things that I know I don't need to dabble back into.
I love that for you. Fortunately, we have seen and we hear so many stories of people in your industry who succumb to addiction, and not to say that you were addicted, not putting that label on you, but just with all of the things on the scene, I can see it's really easy to slip into that space. And
I'll say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, and like, when everything is going good and you're already drinking or using in excess, You know, that's one thing, but we can't predict the ebbs and flows of life. And so when something bad happens, if you have no coping mechanisms, if you have no way how to regulate, you don't know how to regulate your emotions and you don't want to feel, which is how I felt. And I think a lowest point in my life was, I have two I can reference, but thinking back to college, when my dad died, that was probably the lowest point I've ever been in my life. And I did not want to feel, and I did not know how to process anything. And I was already partying a ton, so it just made sense for me to disguise myself amongst the rest of my friends and people like who are already partying. It's like, oh, Nadine's partying, but she's also really sad, you know, and now she's destroying the bathroom. Yeah. And now she's doing all these like crazy destructive things, but it was masking my true emotions. And I feel like, you know, people always should evaluate their relationship with alcohol. My mission is not to evangelize and make people sober, although I think it's amazing. I think for me, it's like more important to show people that you need to check in with yourself and be honest about how you are dealing with your life and be real about your alcohol usage, because it is way too easy to slip.
Absolutely. What I was going to say was how you said that you label yourself an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that?
I did say that, yes. Right? I definitely said that.
Okay, yeah. Now, I'm not labeling myself that, but I definitely had to look in the mirror and really say, okay, Camille, you do have a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. You have a drink. There's a problem here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The relationship with you and alcohol is not good. Mm-hmm. You got to figure this out. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of the harder parts. It's like having to say out loud, like, yeah, this shit's not working for me. Like, alcohol is not good for me. You know what I'm saying? Or how I'm using alcohol is not good for me.
Yeah.
So I did have that moment where I had to tell myself, like, all right, what you going to do? You going to keep waking up, asking people what happened? You going to keep blacking out? Mm-hmm. You going to keep crashing cars and lose your license forever because you want to keep drinking and driving? Like,
and by the way, I think God has protected you so much. And I don't know how you feel about God, so excuse me for placing that on you.
Girl, what?
But
no,
I just feel like...
No, say, ain't no excuse me.
You know, you have to be careful sometimes.
I
literally am like, God has protected you so much. And that's what I was thinking the whole time you were telling me these stories. I'm like, you hit a tree? Girl, that could have been anything or anyone.
Girl, I was in a neighborhood. It was houses right there.
God protects children and fools. And so I would always run with that in my mind. Like, oh, like God's protecting me.
Wait, God protects... Wait.
Children
wait,
and
God
fools.
Protects children and who?
Fools. I was a fool. I was a fool. But like, also that's not fair, because I was using that as a cloak. Like, oh, I'm going to keep acting out because God got me. Like, no, girl, like... People really out here dying and like really getting in trouble, and there are real consequences. But like, I kept thinking I was special/exempt from real consequences, when that's not in fact the truth. And eventually, I know for a fact, if I kept drinking, eventually it would catch up to me. There's no way I could sustain the life that I was on. And I very much never thought I had a real problem until I knew I had a real problem, if that makes sense. I like to use alcohol. I don't even know if I truly believe it in the term for myself. And sometimes I feel like I have imposter syndrome when I go to meetings like AA and I hear other people's story. I'm like, well, I wasn't doing that. But at the same time, I'm like, I would rather scare myself straight and believe that than tell myself that I don't have a problem. And the reality is, oh,
right.
I actually do have a problem. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather be overly cautious and live my life like this, which is a lot happier, because I was actually really depressed when I was drinking that heavily, than go back to that. So that's just me. Because it was like, I can't stop. So I just don't want to start.
You just decided I'm a chill, right?
I can't stop. It's not, one is never good enough for me. And then, you know, two is never good enough either, because I might as well have three. And then, where's the bottle? Just finish it. Like, you know, that's just I'm an extremist. So that's my personality. Like, I cannot. I'll ask you one final question.
So I was really excited to talk to you.
I'm so excited to talk to you and just catch up and learn so much about your history, because I didn't know any of that. And I really appreciate you being vulnerable and talking about this stuff, because I know it's not easy. How can you keep yourself in check to make sure that you don't ever go back to a place where you're drinking and driving, or you're using alcohol to where you are getting super drunk, so on and so forth? Or do you see a problem with getting super drunk? I don't know. Not everyone does. I now think it's problematic.
Yeah, everybody does it. I think it's problematic. I think.
But back then, no, you couldn't tell me any differently.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think I have a lot to lose. I think my trajectory is only going up. I know my trajectory mm-hmm. is only going up. Mm-hmm. So it would only be foolish of me to allow alcohol to be my downfall. You know Amen. What I'm saying? It would only be so dumb and stupid. Not ignorant, because I know, but it would be so stupid of me to allow alcohol to be the reason I'm missing a bag, mm-hmm. to be the reason why I can't do a commercial, right. to be the reason why I'm missing a show, a reason for anything. A little nervous with the interlock coming out of my car this month.
Okay.
Because will it be like, oh, I did have those two glasses of wine, but I can go to the store right quick. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How can you hold yourself honest? How can you help yourself be accountable?
Once I drink, I got to act like the interlock is still in my car. Once I take a sip, I mean, I can't drive. I started drinking. It's on my breath. Like, I have to really still be in it. So that's really going to come from people around me, though.
I
disagree. So I know I have one person that
I feel like it's got to be you, baby.
You think so?
I do. Even in hearing your history, right? Like, you typically, like, you seem like you've been more receptive to hearing what people have to say. But ultimately, I do think that you are wired more like me.
I have to choose it.
You have to want it. You have to believe it. You have to know that that's what you need to do in that moment.
Facts. Well, I just said I know that I can't allow it to get in the way of what I got going on and, you know, anything with my career. So how about this? We do a follow-up in a few months and before the new year.
I would love
that. And you'll be able to see how I've been doing with the breathalyzer out the car.
I think that's an amazing
idea. I'll be completely honest.
Oh, I wouldn't expect anything less from you, Camille. Like, I feel like you've been so honest, and I appreciate it, because I know it's not easy, especially because you're choosing to still drink. And like I said, that's not any judgment. That's not any critique. I wish I could have more discipline. I just know I know myself now enough to not play myself, and so that's just why I won't even go there. And I find it harder to, like, moderate. Before I quit drinking, I was trying to play the moderating game, and that was worse for me, because I would be like, for example, at dinner
and watch
with friends,
everything.
I'm like, okay, only two drinks, and then, like, I'd be like literally planning out my next sip. I'm like, damn, I just want to gulp this whole thing back, but I have to, like,
right.
And then I'm not even listening to what anyone has to say. Now I'm just thinking about when I can have my next glass. Anyway, I commend you, like I said, for being so honest. I believe in your talent.
Thank you.
Anything you want to promote right now? Because I know you have a lot going on.
Of course.
I want people to hear your music. I want them to know what deals you have going on. All the things.
Yeah. Now that y'all know my life. Like I said again, I'm gonna tell y'all one more time. I go by the name of Who Camille. Like, who? Camille is right there in that corner. WHOCAMILLE. I'm an artist. I'm a songwriter. I'm an all-around entertainer. I'm on Apple, Tidal, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube. Wherever there's music, I'm gonna be there. Who Camille. That's also my Instagram name. Tap in so you can follow along and see the journey.
The journey never stops.
It never stops.
I'm gonna put all of that stuff in the show notes so people can see it. Thank you, Camille. Okay. Who Camille? Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope that you enjoyed listening to Who Camille's story. And while I never did get a DWI, I certainly deserved one many times. So I really connect with her story, and I'm so proud of her. We need to hear more stories like that. I think so many people believe that, like, oh, that's never going to happen to me, right? Like, you never think that the worst is going to happen. And it's like, who says, you know, who says that it's not going to happen to you? This may sound hypocritical coming from me, considering I did, but I've definitely learned from my lessons, and I'm using my platform as a way to raise awareness to the dangers and ills of driving while under the influence. I'm so thankful that nothing terrible happened to Camille outside of, you know, some legal, minor, you know, legal issues. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been fateful. She could have really hurt herself or someone else. So I'm so glad that Camille has learned from that. And we will be checking back in. We will follow up. Thank you guys so much for watching this week's episode. Quick reminder that new episodes drop every single Tuesday at 6 a.m. So you can listen to the Sober Brother Podcast as you're getting ready for your day. I also recommend making sure that you hit subscribe, right? Making sure you hit that follow button, because how else are you going to stay up to date with all TSB news? So yeah, go ahead and do that for me. I love you guys so much. And if you have it in your heart and you feel generous today, go ahead and leave a 5-star review.